Well, let me just take a good hard look at you guys. You're going to be staring at me, so let me just kind of check you out. There's a few faces that I don't recognize. How many of you have never seen me before in your life? Very first time. Okay, I thought so. Quite a number of you. How many of you remember me from last year? Can I see those hands? Okay. How many of you are still trying to forget that experience? Thank you, brother, for that support back there. And then how many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I ask this morning? You're not going to participate. Thank you, Sister Joan. All right. Well, here we go. First of all, thank you to Pastor D, who has graciously entrusted me to be here this morning while she's away. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I think I was thinking about, and I've been back in the States, this July will be 17 years, but I was coming ministering here at York Christian Fellowship even when I was living abroad. So I bet it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of close to 20 years that I've been coming, you know, off and on here and ministering. So you guys are family. This is an extended family. I left my wife home this weekend with the three kids. They're in church this morning as well. Don't get me wrong, but there we go. The Chihuahua is home for sure. And at any rate, it's my pleasure and joy to be here. It's always a joy to be at your Christian Fellowship. And wow, what a legacy, huh? What a legacy. It just seems, well, we won't go there. But at any rate, I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to redeem my time wisely. The clock is ticking, and I'm going to jump in real quick. On your way out, I have a really nice product table. It's out there in the lobby. And check it out. We have Mother's Day coming up, don't we? That's right. So, you know what? Hey, there's some good things out there you might be interested in. I only have two of these left, but out there. You know my wife, she loves to draw. She loves to illustrate her art, illustrate the scriptures. So these are five. They're actually postcards. I used to travel with them in big 8.5 by 11 frames and mats and that sort of thing. It became a bit cumbersome. So we kind of reduced the size. The footprint's a little smaller, but they are postcards now. And I only have two sets out there. But at any rate, check them out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is what this one says. Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. I think that's really cool. This is one of the first ones I remember her drawing. Friends are a gift from heaven. I came home one weekend and she said, "What do you think of this?" I said, "Oh, that's nice. Where'd you get that?" She said, "Well, I couldn't stay up. I couldn't sleep last night. And I was thinking about how friends are a gift from the Lord. And I just sat down most of the night and I drew this." I said, "You drew that? Really? Wow. That's pretty good. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." It's the Mr. Chef here. And then here's Super Mom, I can do all things through Christ. She's flipping a pancake in one hand, holding a broomstick in the other. She has a roller skate on her right foot with a cat sitting on the top of her foot. And she has her knee bent, holding up, looks like a bucket and a rag. The kids are in the background going haywire. So really cool, very colorful, trust me. You send one of these, you think of a friend or maybe somebody's going through something or you're thinking about how, you know, you have a friend of yours that you just thank God for that friendship. Drop one of these postcards in the mail. This is not something they're going to just toss in the trash. They're going to hang that on their refrigerator, I guarantee you. So there's only two sets out there. I am so sorry. I thought I had more, but I don't. But, and then one of the popular ones out there is it's a comprehensive study guide on the subject of divine healing. It reveals from God's word that healing belongs to you. It's not good, it's real good. It's called Come and Be Healed. So there are all kind of Mother's Day options out there on the table, let me tell you. Everything from evangelism to financial increase to healing, faith, righteousness, learning how to recognize God's voice. I have a DVD out there my father did on the Passover. He is a Messianic Jew, and the Lord appeared to him in 1973, scared the devil out of him, and he got saved. And so he's out there teaching on the Passover. That's recorded at Dr. Bill Winston's church in Chicago, Illinois, about a 20,000-member church, and they invited him. They flew him out there on a Wednesday night and asked him to teach on the Passover and, you know, the parallel and the symbolism. And then at the end, he shares his testimony of what happened that evening in 1973. So that's out there on the table, and there's a whole lot of other things, a various amount of books. So check them out. Feel free. Also, visit my website, toddlevinministries.com. If you just type in toddlevin.com, you're going to get a hit. You're going to come to a Jewish comedian's website who is based out of New York, and that is not me. Even though we may share the same name, there is no connection other than somewhere down the line we evidently come from the same tribe. So you might want to check that out. Also, keep us in prayer this summer. My family and I were going back for about 6 weeks to Eastern Europe, to the Czech Republic. We'll be able to really reconnect with the churches, the pastors. I had started churches over, 25 years ago. And so looking forward to reconnecting, planning a whole seminar, bringing all the churches together. And then, of course, my kids will be able to visit with their grandparents. My wife, as you know, is from Czechoslovakia. Now it's the Czech Republic. And so looking forward to that trip. We certainly appreciate your prayers. And then finally, if you get Channel 40, Cornerstone Television, I share a program with my mom and dad who pastor outside of Pittsburgh area, and it comes on every Thursday morning at 5:30 a.m. It's entitled Voice of Faith. So I take two Thursday mornings, they take two Thursday mornings, and if you are unable to get that, Channel 40, visit my website, because on there you'll have access literally to all the different broadcasts, and you can then watch them at your convenience. So, I believe that's it. I want to thank you guys again for inviting me here. Thank all of you. I know many of you, you pray and you support our ministry. It means the world to us. I couldn't do what I do unless I had brothers and sisters like you who really pray for us and undergird our ministry. Trust me. You know, I mean, when you spend as many hours as I do behind the wheel of a car driving, you thank God that you have people that pray for you. Have you seen accidents throughout your life on the road? Oh yeah, all around me, happening in front of me. But to God be the glory. He has always watched over my life. And I attribute that not only to my prayers and faith in His protection, but also the prayers of the saints and partners that have lifted our ministry up through the years and continue to lift us up. So thank you again. If you want to find out any more about coming on board, partnering with our ministry, there is information there at the table. And anybody that connects with us today, I set a sign out there and it says, if you come on board with us, please feel free to take one item of anything off of that table as a free gift up to $25. Let's say this out loud just to make sure I was clear. One of anything, not one of everything. How many heard the difference? Okay, it's important. All right, would you go ahead and stand to your feet with me? We're going to dive right into the Word of God. Paul said, I believe and therefore I speak. We're going to follow that example right now. Real quick, anybody visiting for the very first time? I should have asked this earlier. Any first-time visitors here? No? Any second-time visitors? You've been here more than once? Okay. Again, I'm talking to the group who is not going to raise your hand no matter what I ask. Okay, I needed to remind myself of that. Would you hold your Bibles up in the air? If you don't have your Bible, maybe have it on your telephone. I mean, I got it on my smartphone. I got it in my iPad. I got it in CD form. It's in the car. It's everywhere. And if you don't have any of those options around you or handy, just hold your hand up in faith. There is no distance in prayer. If you do not even own a Bible, then please, come to us or see the leadership here at the end of the meeting. I mean, come on. Let's go ahead and say this together. I boldly confess, this is my Bible. I am what God said I am. I have what God said I have. And I can do what God said I can do. Today I'll have a listening ear, an open mind, and a receptive heart. And I shall receive the engrafted Word of God down in my spirit. It will transform my life. It will renew my mind and change my thinking. I'll never be the same as the way I came in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence in this place right now. And I do acknowledge that you're the miracle worker, the great teacher, and my helper. And so I'm asking you to open my eyes and open my ears. Give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, information, inspiration, revelation, motivation, and direction concerning God's plan, God's purpose, and God's will for my life on this very day. Lord, we're believing you together that every need of everyone in this place shall be met, spirit, soul, and body. We have come expecting, and we will not leave disappointed. Therefore, we're giving you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise right now in advance for what's about to happen, not only in this service, but especially in my life, in my heart, in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you brought your Bibles along with you this morning, would you go ahead and open them up with me, please, to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. We're going to get there in just a moment or two. Hallelujah. How many of you know the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith? We're in a faith fight, aren't we? And obviously, if we're in a fight, there's enemies. And I'm not really here today to give you a list of the different enemies and things and challenges and obstacles that are set before us. But having said that, there is one specific area that I'd like to address today. And the reason being is because I probably meet this more than any other up at the altar on Sunday morning or Sunday night, whatever day of the week it is that I happen to be ministering to an individual, particularly even those who may be battling something physically, maybe financially, relationally, I don't know. But this is an enemy that seems to hang around longer than any other. And that enemy is called fear. So I want to talk to you this morning in the little time that I have. I say little time, no, it's, because we're not here for 3 days. But in the time that we have gathered this morning, I want to talk to you about this particular area, and that is living free from fear. Many years ago, I was invited down south in the mountain region to preach for about 4 or 5 days at this church. Generally speaking and traveling, for the most part, either A, you'll be put up in a hotel as a guest speaker when you come into town, or B, maybe you'll, be put up with a family. Well, in this case, in this scenario, they had rented out this vacant house, a 3-floor, an old home in the middle of in the middle of nowhere. There were very few houses around. There were not street lights. There was no cell phone connection, no telephone, no access to nothing. And it had a semi-wraparound porch. So, long story short, when I would arrive home after the evening services, mind you, at the end of the service, I usually would go back to the pastor's, we'd fellowship, have a bite to eat, and then I would return back to my accommodations. And for the most part, I would usually arrive back somewhere after midnight. Well, it was a very creepy situation, to say the least. I'm not a big stature of a man, you know. I'm not 6'5 and 250 pounds and built like a linebacker or whatever. I mean, you can see that. And, you know, give me a little more confidence. But anyhow, so I'm in this situation, and it was very interesting because when I arrived to this accommodating place where they had put me, the bedroom was located on the bottom floor. This was a unique bedroom. Why anyone on earth had designed a bedroom such as this is beyond me. Generally speaking, a bedroom has one access point other than perhaps there might be a window or two. You know, usually one door that enters into the bedroom. Well, this bedroom had three doors, and every door entered into a different part of the house. Honest to God. So as soon as you walked in the front door of the house and you opened the door, I'm in a little, what, 3x3 foyer to take my shoes off. I can head on over to the living room, or directly within arm's reach is door number one. Well, if I open up door number one, I've now entered into my bedroom. I'm beside my bed, standing there. On the back side of the wall of the bed itself was door number two. That door led into the living area. On the other far side of the room was door number three. That led to the laundry room area and eventually down the corridor into the kitchen. In front of the bed were these two, nearly from ceiling to floor, windows. And outside of that was a semi-wraparound porch. Now, that you have at least a little idea of what the bedroom setting is. So here I am, arrive home after midnight. Mind you, there's nowhere to reach out. If I find myself in a predicament, well, it's me and Jesus, and that's it. And so I fell off to sleep, and somewhere in the middle of the night, I was suddenly awakened. I mean, I am, I guess, what I would call a light sleeper. If you just brush the tip of your shoe or slide it across the table, most likely I'm going to wake up. Now, mind you, maybe that's why sometimes when I do wake up in the morning, I'm not necessarily as fresh as I could be or should be because I haven't fallen into that deep zone of sleep. So this is one of those nights when I'm suddenly awakened. And what I was awakened by was someone or something walking right outside of that wall in front of the window, footsteps just walking across the porch. Well, as you can imagine, they had my attention. So I slid out of the bed. I army crawled across the floor. I mean, I'm not one that's just going to go turn the light on. Hey, who's out there? You know, it's not like I have a 12-gauge shotgun here or a telephone. I can dial 911. So I army crawled across the floor. I'm hearing somebody walk. It was a long porch. Walk all the way across. And I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, what did it have to be this week? Not next week when I'm gone, you know. And so I make it to the wall, and I peer out of the curtain, and I'm looking both ways. At least I had enough sense to leave the porch light on out there. I'm looking left and right, and I didn't see anyone. Well, I wasn't sure if that was good or not good, because if I don't see anyone, then what that could tell me is now they have made it to another side of the house. Another door that enters in. And I lay there for the longest time, looking in a frozen, paralyzed position. And eventually, when, you know, I guess come to my senses, and I thought, well, I don't know, whoever that was, evidently they're gone, I hope. And so I crawled back in the bed, and some time passed, and I fell off to sleep. What I want to say is that fear is an absolute thief. Fear will rob you of your sleep. It'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of your peace. I was in a hotel one night, you know, in a hotel. And in the middle of the night, out of nowhere, suddenly the television turns on by itself. honest to God. And I thought, whoa, yeah, it woke me up, you know, and it's loud and blaring. I thought, where am I? What did I hit something? You know? And there it is. I'm staring at the television. And I turned on my bedside light there. And I'm thinking, did I bump a remote? No, the remote is over sitting on the other side of the room, sitting on top of the television. You know, things like that just to disturb you. That's how the enemy is. He wants to disturb your rest, disturb your life, disturb your peace, disturb your health. And one of the biggest enemies that challenges us each and every day, if not each and every week, is that spirit of fear. I ask you to go to, what scripture I ask you to go to? Romans in chapter 8. But suffice to say, we know this one, and I didn't have you turn there. I've got too many scriptures to look at, but 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear clearly is a spirit, and it is not from Almighty God. It is very, very real. But it's not from God. And it is a spirit, and a spirit will manifest itself for what it truly is. What do you mean by that? Well, when a lying spirit gets on an individual, how do you suppose that that lying spirit will manifest through that person? They will stand there and lie to your face. When a spirit of infirmity gets upon an individual, how do you suppose that that spirit of infirmity will manifest? It will manifest through that infirmity, through sickness or dis-ease. When the spirit of fear gets upon an individual, how do you suppose that it will manifest? Well, none other than through fear. Suddenly, fear comes up upon an individual. Now, again, one man, I wrote this down. I thought this was very profound. He said, too many of us are not living our dreams because we're living our fears. Let that sink in. Think about the dreams that God has put down on the inside of your heart and mind. These are God-given dreams. And yet, for some of us, we have not, those dreams have not yet been realized. We're not living those dreams. Why? Because we're bound with fear. We're living our fears. And as long as we let fear be our slave master, as long as we let fear hold us in bondage like a ball and chain around our foot, we will never begin to experience the dreams or the reality of those dreams that God has put down on the inside. It is a call that we have to make. It's a choice that is set before you as well as before me. Am I going to live the dream that God has put within my heart, or am I going to let fear dictate to me what I can or cannot do in life? Romans in chapter 8, verse 15. You did not, that's the one you found, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Notice you did not receive a spirit. I'm reading from the New International Version, or the spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. This is not a feeling. This is not an emotion. This is a spirit. God said, no, you received the spirit of sonship. Now, I'm going to come back to this other verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. We're going to look at the other side of that shortly. But essentially, it says, fear has torment. Fear brings torment. And let me give you a few other synonyms for the word fear. How about stress? Just don't talk to me now. I'm stressed out. That is fear. Well, you know, I'm just under a lot of pressure. I'm under a lot of tension right now. That is none other than fear. How about the individual that is panicking, or maybe is used to having these panic attacks? That is none other than the spirit of fear. And until we address our enemy and recognize the enemy, unfortunately, that enemy will have the advantage over us. But when I turn the lights on, I expose the enemy who has been so used to
hiding out in the darkness, then he loses his advantage over me. Are you getting this? So what do you suppose, or how do you suppose, is one way that we can turn on the light and expose our enemy? How about by opening the Bible? The entrance of God's word brings light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you know the truth, then the truth shall make you free. So it is vitally important, it is imperative for you and for me that we know what the word says so that I can expose my enemy, that I can disarm him in the name of Jesus. Now, you know what usually happens during holiday time, Christmas coming up, Thanksgiving coming up, these sort of what we may call major holidays. We've just gone through Easter. But people, unfortunately, they have a tendency to panic. They have a tendency to get stressed out. They have a tendency to worry. Why? Because all these now additional expenses, oh dear God, how about around Christmas time? Dear Jesus, what are we going to do now? We're probably going to have to open up a new credit card. Let's see, we got grandma and granddad and aunt and uncle, and then my brothers and sisters, and then there's our parents, and then there's this, that, and the other. And I mean, by the time you all go on down the list, you're so stressed out, you're thinking, now how much is this going to set us back? That is none other than fear. How about Thanksgiving time? And this is the year when it's your turn. Last year, you know, your brother and sister-in-law, they're the ones who had hosted Thanksgiving and fed the army. Now it's your turn this year. What are you going to do? You know how these how much these vultures eat when they come to Thanksgiving. And now you're hosting, you're throwing the whole party yourself. Are you hearing me? And people get stressed out, don't they? They get stressed out, like uneasy. You know, dear Jesus, what am I going to do? That's just fear. That's all it is. Now, listen to this. Fear or phobias, we may also know them as, are the most common mental disorders in the United States. Did you know that? And I'm going to give you an excerpt. This is not a comprehensive list. This is just simply a glimpse of into the many phobias that really can have a serious impact on the lives of individuals. One of the first ones, the acluophobia. It's called the fear, or it means the fear of darkness. When I was growing up as a child, I was afraid of the dark. When my father would put me and my brother to sleep at night, mind you, our bedrooms were, you know, adjacent to each other, and he would pray with us standing there in the corridor looking into my bedroom or my brother's. When it was all said and done, I'd say, Dad, do not close my door all the way. Leave that nightlight on in the hallway. I need to have some glimmer of light shining in my bedroom to just to put my mind at ease. I was afraid of the dark. I was a little boy. Now, obviously, I think some things you may grow out of, other things you need to take authority over. And when you realize that fear is none other than a spirit not from God, then you begin to walk in authority over that. You walk in victory over that. Nowadays, when I go to sleep, I don't want a shaft or a beam of light coming into my bedroom. If need be, I'm gonna cover my eyes. I mean, I've been in places where it was so bright, I said, dear Jesus, give me a sock or something. Let me put a sock over my eyes. You know, mind you, it needs to be clean. I'm going to be breathing it all night. But let me put a sock over my eyes because it's so bright in here. Who can sleep with this amount of light? You see, but when I was a kid, it was a little bit different. So let me give you some other ones. And rather than read the technical term, let me at least give you the definitions of what these terms are. There is the fear of heights. How many of you enjoy climbing up a 20, 30 foot ladder and walking across the roof? Well, you know, some people, they don't even think twice about it. I had a guy come to our house not long ago, and he threw this ladder way up to the second story of my home. And he said, I'll just take a look up on your roof. And I said, okay. Well, how about if I stay down here? Let me hold that ladder for you. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. I said, are you really? You know, I mean, it's pretty steep up there. Oh, don't worry about it. Man, this guy walks up there like he's walking up, you know, to his bedroom or something. And he's walking around the roof checking some things out. And when I noticed that he was ready to come down, I said, oh, you're ready to come down? Here, let me go ahead and brace that ladder for you. Oh, no, don't worry about that. You know, I'm thinking, okay. Absolute, no, there was such a confidence, there was no fear. The fear of flying. How many people have you ever met in your life who said, oh, I've never been on an airplane before. You'll never catch me on one of those things. There is no way I'm boarding an aircraft of any kind. That's simply a fear. The fear of pain. There is the fear of needles. When I was growing up as a kid, you know, my mother, she loved taking us to the doctors at First Light. Oh, you sneezed? We're going to the doctors. Oh, it hurts? I'm taking you to the doctors. Oh, it's vaccination time. We're going to the doctor. Whatever. And one of the things I was terrified of when I would arrive at that doctor's office is I sure hope that this is not one of those trips where he decides that he wants to give me a shot of any kind. You know, when they stick that needle up in the bottle and then they pull out the syringe and then they squirt it just to make sure it's loaded. And you're watching all this. You're thinking, oh, dear God, I know what comes next. There was one occasion I remember, I almost passed out. I turned white as a ghost, nearly fainted. They had to break open the smelling salts, wave them under my nose till I, you know, regained full consciousness before he could give me that injection. I'm telling you the honest God truth, I was terrified of needles. Well, now I find it fascinating, you know. If I go and, you know, well, we're going to check their cholesterol, Mr. Levin. It's like, oh, okay, go ahead. Well, that's neat. I mean, I'm watching while they're sticking the needle in, and I find it fascinating. But back then, I was terrified. It was a fear of needles. The fear of riding in a car. The fear of men. Androphobia. People have, and there are some people that have androphobia. The fear of men. That's none other than the spirit of fear. The fear of flowers. That's right. The devil is so crazy that he can manifest himself in this regard. It's called anthrophobia, that people will actually be terrified and afraid of flowers. Get those things out of here! Can you imagine? The husband wants to do right, bless his wife, comes home with a whole bouquet of roses, and she nearly, you know, goes crazy when you walk through the door and you say, honey, you know, I got something for you. Oh my gosh, get those things out of here. That's how nutty the devil is. The fear of people, the fear of spiders. Hello? How many of you love creeping, crawling things? Well, my first missionary journey, 1986, I'm there living in the country of Belize in Central America, right next to Guatemala. I was the first one up in the morning. There was no hot water. It was only ice cold. Imagine. Just imagine water as cold as you could possibly drum it up to be. We had vertical blinds that did not close all the way. So had the nice cool breeze morning air filling up that little shower bathroom area. You would jump in and mix with the cold breeze filling in the bathroom with the ice cold shower. It was a wonderful combination. And so I generally would turn the water on and I would bear the pain briefly enough to get wet, and then I would shut that thing off and I'd lather it up. And this was one of those mornings I got soap all over my body. I'm ready to turn that water on as brief as possible to rinse myself off, and I felt something crawl to the top of my foot. And as I looked down, I couldn't see the top of my foot. God is my witness, it was a spider that big, round, with a body. I'm not talking a daddy long leg. I'm talking the whole thing felt like it weighed a pound, and you could not see through it. It was that large and big. Well, I wasn't into martial arts at that point, but let me tell you, I let out a key-op and a front kick. I went, ah! And I flicked that thing off. I honest to God, I was terrified. Now I'm there. I have soap drying on me. I'm freezing. I got this monster creature in the bathroom, you know, on the floor now. Somebody else was up in the house. I said, "Brother Tom, is everything okay?" I said, "No, not everything's okay. There's this thing in the bathroom here." And so, you know, I thought, what am I going to do? Obviously, we got to deal with that before I can rinse off. And also, now I'm having to put clothes on, you know, and find some instrument out there in the house. And they had come in and they said, "Oh, well, that's a poisonous one. That's a bad one. Did he bite you?" I said, "No, thank God, didn't bite me. But it's nice to know that it was a poisonous one." And, you know, mind you, I am down in the tropical, in Central America, the jungle area. So the fear of spiders, the fear of thunder. How many times have my children woken me up in the middle of the night? "Mommy, Daddy, can I come and sleep with you?" "Why? It's lightning. It's thundering outside. Just can I sleep with you? Just. Yeah. All right, come on in." And then I started to lead my kids in prayer that they have no fear, taking authority over fear, that they're not afraid of thunderstorms, of these sort of things. The fear of failure, the fear of being alone, the fear of bacteria, the fear of ugliness. All right, we won't camp there. The fear of being ridiculed, the fear of mirrors, of snow, of colors, of clocks, of clowns, of computers, of dogs, of trees. The fear of dentists is known as dentophobia, the fear of dentists. I used to have that until that time, until that experience. When the dentist said, "Let me just, is your tooth, it feels like it's loose, can I just see that?" Yank! "What was that? There was no warning. You just decided to rip that out of my mouth at will? Forget it." And the next time I had a loose tooth and my mother brought me to the dentist, "Well, he just wants to take a look at it." I said, "That's not going to happen. I remember the last time he just wanted to take a look at that." That was an unfruitful visit because I refused to open my mouth. My mother was embarrassed, and after 20 or so minutes, we ended up walking out of the dentist's office and nothing had been done to my teeth because I refused to open my mouth. Well, I'm telling you the truth. The fear of trees, the fear of accidents, the fear of houses, the fear of cats, insects, the fear of teenagers, the fear of teenagers. Woo! Well, I have two of them at the moment. I'm not afraid. The fear of horses, the fear of marriage, the fear of knees, the fear of women, the fear of sun, the fear of water illness, the fear of doctors. I mean, the list, it just goes on and on. We're only halfway through. So let me go ahead and skip right over these because it's taking too much time. But suffice to say that these things are real. And the devil is crazy, isn't he? You know, there is the fear of it's never going to change. My circumstances are never going to change. What am I going to do now if there never is a change physically? If my finances never change relationally? What about in ministry? What about in business? There's this fear of that it will never change. That's the devil. Hello? Circumstances are subject to the Word of God. You know, amen. And I don't care what it is, you know, what kind of challenge that the enemy might surprise us with and set before us. It's just simply a spirit. That's all it is. And just as faith will give God access and an entry point into your life, the opposite of faith, the other side of the coin, would be fear. And fear is what gives Satan access and an entry point into your life. Now, we have the option. It is our call. It is our choice. Would I rather give God an entry point and access into my life, into my home, into my relationships? Or would I rather give Satan entrance point and access into my life? And that is through fear. So that call is mine. Let me give you a quick for example, and you don't have to turn there. They might pull it up on the screen, but it's Job chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Listen to this. Chances are we've all been guilty of what I'm about to call to your attention. most likely, we've all been guilty of this. This is New International Version, Job chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes. And they would invite their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would then send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them. Why? Well, he was thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. How many of you have ever heard of those prepaid phone cards? Are you familiar with those? It'd be much like the gift cards nowadays. You know, you can go to Walmart and usually where you're checking out, there's your standing in line. They'll have a whole display of all these different cards. And you can pick one if you want to give a gift card to an individual, and you decide how much that you want to put on that gift card. You know, if you want to give $25, $50, whatever amount, you tell that cashier, and then she charges your credit card and then loads that gift card up with that certain amount. You have prepaid ahead of time. And once you present that as a gift, then mind you, that individual has the joy of going and spending your money. So we all know how that works. But notice in this instance, Job was beside himself. He was totally full of fear. He was concerned. He's not like, well, my children have sinned and disobeyed God. Now I need to go make things right. I need to go before the Lord and offer this sacrifice. No, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that in Job's mind, he thought, perhaps it could be, you never know. Maybe my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So just in case that's what happened, I'm going to go ahead and offer a sacrifice. This is my regular custom. I am making provision for the flesh. It'd be like this. I was younger. I'm in the back seat of a station wagon. My cousin was next to me, my aunt. I was staying over, night or that weekend with them. And my aunt said, oh, boys, come on, hop in the car. We're going out. So we said, all right. And so we're driving down the road. And I said to my aunt, I called her name. Oh, where are we going? She said, well, first we're going to stop by the pharmacy. Oh, I asked, who's sick? And her reply was this. Well, nobody's sick, but every year, your cousin, the one sitting next to me, your cousin, every year he gets poison ivy. So we are going to stop by the pharmacy and pick up that medication ahead of time so that in the event that he gets it or when he gets it sometime later on this year, then we have that poison ivy medication on hand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that was a worry, a fear, a concern that she had, even though he is not facing this dilemma currently at present. However, like Job, he said, I'm going to go ahead and offer these sacrifices in the event, in the case, or in the near future that my children have sinned or may sin down the road. This is my regular custom. That's fear. Job chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. Mind you, before I even read that, you remember by reading Job chapter 1, don't you, what happened? Because of this man's position of fear, his stature of fear, he went and he said this in verse 26, what I feared has come on me, what I have dreaded has happened to me, and I have no peace, I have no quietness, I have no rest, but only turmoil. Hello? He lost everything. He lost his wealth, his possessions, all his children died. I mean, everything that was important to him, he lost the whole shebang. Why? Where was the open door? How did he give Satan access and an entry point into his life? He said, it's what I feared has happened to me. This is exactly what I was afraid of. Have you ever heard those words come out of somebody's mouth after a situation that transpired? And sure enough, as they stand there, they open their mouth and they've said, "This is exactly what I was afraid of." Or, "This is exactly what I was afraid would happen." Maybe you've said that. Well, I'm here to tell you, that was the open door. That was the access, the entry point where you invited the enemy right on in. Maybe unknowing to you at the time, but fear is a thief. And it is not from God. And we need to wise up. We need to identify it. We need to use our authority in Jesus' name. Take authority over it. You know, he said, "What I have dreaded has come, has happened to me." Notice that fear, it has dread. It really does. It has dread. But what if I lose my job? What if I can't make my mortgage payment? What if my car won't start? What if this? What if that? That is fear. Faith has hope. David said, "Lord, I hope in thy word." Faith has hope. God's word gives you hope. There is hope even in the midst of what may appear to be a hopeless situation. God's word produces hope. Yes, there is light at the end of the tunnel, regardless of the report that you may have received, regardless of the condition that you have been living in for some time now. There is hope, and God's word gives you hope, whereas fear gives you dread. Fear is just simply faith in reverse. Fear is faith that it won't work out. And fear and faith, they do not mix. Let me go ahead and say this. You can't be afraid of something unless you believe that it is a possibility. When I was growing up, reverting back to my childhood just for a moment again, but when I was growing up, not only was I afraid, spiders. My dad used to say, I said, "Daddy, you got to come in. There's a big one hanging up there in the ceiling. I can't go to sleep. You know, I don't want it to drop down on my face in the middle of the night." And he'd come in. My dad was in the military 12 years. He'd come in. "Oh, yeah. What is it? It's nothing. You take a little cleaner. You just squash. You just pop it like that. You know, come on. You know. You could never be," he said, "you could never be a missionary. You could never live overseas." Little did he know, 14 years overseas. "You could never be a missionary. You kidding me? You just squeeze it like that. See you." And, "Daddy, you know, the thing's up there. Daddy, leave the door open." And before I went to sleep, I always had to check under my bed and check my closet where my father hung his suits and shirts and that sort of thing. Why? I was afraid that there might be something or someone hiding under my bed or in the closet. So until I fanned through the shirts and checked under the bed, I could not lay my head down on the pillow at night. Now maybe none of you ever had to face that. But growing up as a kid, I was afraid. That was something that I was afraid of. You can't be afraid of something unless you believe it is a possibility. And that is none other than faith. Are you hearing me? It's faith working against me instead of for me. But it's faith. I believed that it was possible. That there is something, someone, some monster, creature, whatever, under the bed or in the closet. So anytime that you catch yourself or hear someone around you say, "Well, you know, I'm afraid that," or "I'm afraid of this," or "I'm afraid that it may not," that means they truly are convinced that it is a possibility. And that's faith. You know, all things are possible for him that believes. Remember, Jairus came to the Lord one day and he said, "Lord, my servant," Jairus came and he said, "Lord, my daughter's at home sick. She's at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she might be healed. She will live and not die." And he agreed. And as they made their journey, before the Lord actually arrived to his house, the servants came out,
They reached Jairus and Jesus, and they said, "Jairus, I'm sorry to tell you, it's too late. Your daughter has already died." Jesus heard that report, and do you remember what he said? "Do not be afraid," or "fear not," but what? "Only believe." Well, what does that tell us? It's our call. We have to decide, who are we going to put our trust and confidence in? Are we going to put our faith, trust, and confidence in Almighty God, in the on the promises of God, believing that God is who He said He is and He'll do what He said He'll do? Or are we going to exercise more faith and confidence in what the enemy is wanting to do in our life? That's what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you, you know, let the truth be made known. Too many Christians are feeding their fears instead of feeding their faith. Let me use this analogy, if you will. Think about that time of the year, October, Halloween. What does Hollywood love to do? They come out, they have these new horror films released. They advertise them on TV. You'll see driving along the road, come and visit the haunted hayride. Come and visit the haunted house. Or, you know, come and see, you know, Chucky's head spin around on the Hollywood screen or whatever, you know, anything. Now think about this. How much intelligence is there in me going to work, getting up in the morning? Imagine if I had a 9-to-5 job, getting up, going in the job, you know, every day, working diligently to earn enough provision to support me, if I'm married, my wife and kids and so forth. And then on Friday night, going on down there, spending, I don't know whether you took your wife, whether you just went yourself. You know, you're buying a $10, $12 ticket, a bucket of popcorn and a soda. I mean, you know, you've already now racked it up to at least $20, $30. And you're going to sit there and watch this horror film of evil just pouring out of the screen as you're sitting here drinking your soda and you're flinching. Oh, dear God, you know, all that. You're exposing yourself and opening your heart to the spirit of fear. How stupid. How dumb can a person be? I am paying money to open my heart for the spirit of fear to come up on me and get inside of me. Listen to me. Fear may try to come on you, but it can never get inside of you unless you let it. And one of the sure ways of letting it inside of you is when you invite it in and you know what is coming. You know what you're sitting in front of. You know what you're exposing yourself to. Then why on earth don't you have enough sense to get up and walk out? You shouldn't have even have been there to begin with. Huh? How about individuals, you know, who went to the doctors, the report was not favorable in their situation. And rather than going home and saying, "Dear Jesus, I need to get into the Word. I need to build my faith back up. Remind myself of who it is, whom it is that I serve and who I belong to." What do? They'll spend 3, 4, 5 hours researching their condition, researching other people's outcomes on the internet, researching, you know, what most doctors have to say. We'll spend hours and hours researching online about our sickness, disease, illness, infirmity, or injury, and yet not give equal or more time to that in the Word of God, researching our healing, researching our health, reminding ourselves how Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, which one is going to be to your advantage? Researching your healing and health, or researching what other people have experienced, their outcomes, the worst case scenarios? Are you listening to what I'm saying? We cannot let fear choose our destiny. I don't care
what everyone else has experienced. I'm not going to yield and open my heart to the spirit of fear and then let fear begin to dictate to me what I can or cannot do. The individual that said, you know, I'd love to take voice lessons, but I'm afraid that I don't have what it takes. I'd love to learn how to play the guitar, how to learn to play the piano, how to learn to play some instrument, but I'm afraid that I'm too old. You know, years ago, my son and I are still involved in martial arts, and we do it just as sport. You know, and there's nothing mystical about it. It's just plain, simple exercise. That's all it is. But when our family got our black belts, whatever happened was enough to inspire my mother at 70 years old to say, well, if you can do it, I can do it. I said, Mom, you may want to think twice about that. We're talking breaking boards. We're talking, you know, fighting and sparring. I mean, you know, you're not 40 years or 70 years old. You sure? And regardless, at her age, she's in her 70s now, she's 1 year away from testing for a black belt in Taekwondo. And you say, well, you know, is that necessary? It's not a matter if it's necessary or not. The principle is, why would you let fear tell you what you can or cannot do? Well, you're too old. Well, you may get hurt. Well, you won't be able to keep up with the other ones. Well, you this, that, and the other. And fear, fear, fear. She's like, forget it. Forget it. And I want to encourage you, do not let fear dictate or determine what your destiny is. You make the call. You can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. Remember, I gave you the statement near the beginning this morning, and our time is nearly up. But if you recall, I had quoted an individual. He said, most people are not living their dreams because they're living their fears. And there are things in your heart. Maybe you call it a bucket list. I don't know what you want to label it as. But chances are there are things in your heart, maybe places that you want to see before you go to meet Jesus. Things you want to do in life before you go meet the Master, right? Things that, things that you want to achieve, whatever. And you have a list. And these are dreams in your heart. Oh, don't let fear tell you that you can't do it. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough intelligence. You don't have enough strength. You don't have enough this, that, or the other to see that come to pass. That is fear. That's all it is. It is a thief, and you can do anything in Christ Jesus. He is your sufficiency. You really can. You know, Norman Vincent Peale, we all are familiar with his writings. He said, fear is never a reason for quitting. It is only an excuse. One more time. Fear is not a reason to quit. It's only an excuse. Now, one thing that I have found that will absolutely overcome fear, and that is the love of God. Remember, I gave you a scripture at the beginning, 1 John 4:18. I said I'm going to come back to it. I gave you the latter part of it, and it says, fear has torment. But the first part of that scripture says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Many times when I pray for individuals who are there at the altar, and by the unction of the Holy Ghost, if not by the individual's own testimony themselves, I might pick up or discern fear. Then often I will pray over them that God will give them a revelation of the cross. Because the revelation of the cross is a revelation or demonstration of the love of God. And when we recognize how much God loves us, that He is voting for us, that He's on our side, that He's not against us, how can we be afraid, right? If God be on our side, I mean, what are we worried about what somebody may try to raise against us? How can we be afraid of that? So, last year, I was at a church in New Jersey, and a pastor gave me this coin. And every 2 years, it's a scripture coin. You may call it a lucky coin, but it's a scripture coin. And there are two verses on this coin. Now, it's not, you know, coated in 14-karat gold worth. No, it's worth about 50 cents. from, you know, in the natural. But on one side of the coin it says this, and it's a scripture from the Old Testament, "The thing that I feared has come on me." Well, who said that? Job. We read that this morning. On the other side of the coin, it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So I use this coin this morning as an illustration that in life, whatever it is that we're facing, regardless of what level of, you know, of adversity it may be, it's none other than making a call. By taking that coin out, it's like saying, okay, which way am I going to go? I can either believe what's on side A, and the thing that I fear, it is exactly what will come on me, because fear will give Satan an access, an entry point into my life, or I'm going to go with what's on the other side of the coin, and it says that perfect love casts out fear. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'm going to place my bets on the love of God, that He really, really, truly loves me, that He is for me, that He has not abandoned me, that He goes before me and prepares my way. Hallelujah. That He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And much like this coin in our life, it simply comes down to a decision. It is your call each and every single time. We don't have time to go into these verses this morning, but I'll give you at least some of the references. There's the Psalms 91, where he talks about, "Thou shalt not be afraid by terror, or for the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 will fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand." You think about how many times in your life, and I can recall many instances in my life, where the devil wanted to just really snuff you right out. I've been in places of car accidents that happened right before my head-on collisions in front of me. You know, driving through intersections where by the grace of God, He stopped me in time as this tractor trailer came barreling right down through a red light and nearly flattened me like a pancake. You know, I can think of things like that in my life, you know. I won't even go into the stories, but there is no reason that we should live in fear if we know what the Word of God declares. Let me give you another one, for example, brother and sister. Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." This is Hebrews 13:5. Verse 6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me, or what the devil has been attempting to do unto you." You know, what's been your story lately? Everybody has a story. I just wonder if time would allow, it would be interesting to hear some of the challenges and stories that each one of us have to tell. But one of my favorites, Psalms 23, verse 4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." It's interesting enough. Imagine if you got off work maybe at 10:30 at night, and you lived a few blocks away, and really just, you know, to save gas, you decided that you were just going to walk to work that day and then return that evening. But what would happen if in that scenario, you know, it was a rough neighborhood and suddenly fear tried to come on you? Now you're terrified to go on out because, I don't know, maybe there's some unpredictable individuals waiting along the side of the road that happen to be right in line with your path that leads to your house. What would you do? You might be a little bit of, might feel a little apprehensive. But what if there was a group of Secret Service agents that were assigned to personally escort you home, to make sure that you made your way home safe that night as you all walked down the sidewalk together? Well, suddenly, you wouldn't feel fear anymore. You may feel adventure. Come on, boys. Let's see what you can do. I want you to take a good hard look. I'm not alone. There are people around me, and they are well armed and well trained. See, it would give you a different approach, a different outlook. And what does the scripture say? "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Whatever it is that you are facing today in your life or in the days ahead, know that you're not entering into that situation alone. God is with you. He really is. So when you go to that doctor's office, guess what? The Lord is by your side. When you walk in to the bank to acquire, maybe wanting to take a loan out or whatever, God is right there with you. You know, whatever situation that you enter, God said, I am with you. There's no reason for us to be afraid. It said, Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Proverbs 3:25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Verse 26, the Lord shall keep thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from falling. So it's on and on and on. And let me go ahead and begin to bring this to a close here. And that is this. One of the things that has personally helped Todd Levin in his life tremendously to live free from fear, and that is knowing who I am in Christ. And one of the scriptures that has been a real, I guess, a foundation for me is Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14. In righteousness thou shalt be established. You shall not fear from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. And from terror it shall not come near you. Did you hear that? Thou shalt not fear. Why? Because you are established in righteousness, meaning that we know who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ, and there's no reason for us to be afraid. If I get around anyone and I see that they're battling with fear in their life, either A, they don't know who they are in Christ, B, they have forgotten who they are in Christ, or C, their mind is simply unrenewed. The spirit of faith comes from a heart that is established in the Word of God. The spirit of fear is a result of a mind that is unrenewed. And unfortunately, there are plenty of Christians sitting in churches this morning all across our nation whose minds have not been renewed with the Word of God, with the teaching and understanding of righteousness, and they battle fear day in and day out. But if we are established in righteousness, God said, then you will be far from oppression and you shall not fear. Hallelujah. Remember, brothers and sisters, for every challenge that we face in life, for every challenge, God will always give us a word. And that word will cause us to rise above the situation. His word will. So you go to the doctors and he's like, there is surgery. That is a possibility. I can't really guarantee it, but it is, you know, it's on the table out there. But when we open the Bible and we find out by his stripes, we were healed. Last summer, I hurt my leg. I was sparring. I was airborne. I got knocked airborne. I fell sideways and I tore my ACL. And it sounded like somebody grabbing a tree branch, and with all your might, you're ripping this branch off the tree. You could literally, it was loud and clear, like you're literally ripping this huge branch off a tree. But that was my ligament being ripped in my knee. Well, of course, it hurt. It was excruciating pain, to say the least. And I tried to get back up, but that was it. Anyhow, long story short, that was the diagnosis. You know, you ripped it, da-da-da-da. There's surgery, this, that, and the other. How old are you again, Mr. Levin? Well, you might want to think about taking up some other kind of sport, you know, like the treadmill maybe or something like that, as opposed to karate. And I walked out of that office, and I wasn't afraid. But I thought to myself, there is no way on earth that I am going to allow the devil to tell me what I can or cannot do. Now, it was an injury. It was an accident. I mean, when you're airborne and you get knocked and you're airborne with both feet off the ground, it's just, how are you going to come down? And I came down wrong. And I said, no way. I'm believing God. Long story short, I I chose that we're not doing surgery. I'm believing God. I'm going to try to, you know, bend and exercise, do what I can and believe God and speak over that. I'm doing everything that I did before the accident. I'm jumping, spinning, balancing, twisting, turning as though there was no injury to begin with. Are you hearing me? Regardless of what the MRI showed and the pictures and all kind of nasty stuff and the reports that I heard, my point is, for every challenge, for that challenge that I faced, there was a word from God. That word is, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. I have not given you the spirit of fear. And whether it was a knee injury for me or whether it's something else that you're going through, as I said, it could be physical, it could be financial, relationship-wise, it could be ministry, business. There's nothing impossible with God to those who believe. Just refuse to allow fear to come inside of you. And I close with this last thought, and that is, I had said it earlier, and I want to underline it one more time before we pray. Even though fear may try to come on you because of circumstances, because of pressures of life, challenging moments, storms around you, right? Pain in your body, things aren't going right, no money in the bank account, no customers, whatever, strife at home. Even though things may not be going right for you, and fear is standing at the door, it cannot get in your heart unless you let it in. If you are sitting here today and you have been bound with fear, the fear of what you're going through or that it may never change or, you know, what hope is there for me, if fear is inside of you, I'll tell you who let it in. You did. Because the devil does not have the ability to come inside your house. Your house, your body, your house is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Fear has no right to come on in. And the only way that it gets inside of us is if we let it in. That's end of story. So I want to encourage you right now to identify that enemy this morning. And I want you to stand to your feet. If by chance you are here, and you say, brother, there have been some things that I've been worried about, things I've been concerned about, and dear Jesus, I mean, it looks like it's not going to change. What am I going to do? That's fear. That's all it is fear. So let's be smart enough to help ourselves recognize the fact that, okay, that's not of God. That is Satan. And as long as he keeps me in this circle of, but what if? But what if it doesn't change? What if it's not repairable? What if I have to do? What if it's terminal? What if I can't make the payment? What if this goes wrong? What if this isn't the right choice? What if? That's fear. Identify it this morning, and then together we will take authority over it and cast it out. But you have to be honest enough with yourself to say, okay, thank you, Brother Todd, for bringing that to my attention. I kept wondering how many times I have to keep going around this merry-go-round, the same thing, the same thing. Now I realize I need to identify that fear and exercise my authority over it in the name of Jesus. And if you exercise authority over it, it has to go. It has to. And always remember that in life, it's like this scripture coin. There are two sides, right? Two sides, two different results in every situation. Side A or side B, the thing that I feared has now come on me, or I believe the love of God is what casts out fear. And I want to encourage you to go with that choice this morning. Put your faith, your confidence, and your trust in God's love, because love never fails, and it is far more powerful than any temptation, than any test, trouble, or trial that the enemy may have raised against you. So I want you to just think about that. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I want you to close your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
All right. We're going to do two things. One, we're going to close for the sake of recording. Lift your hands and say, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. It is truth. I acknowledge it as truth. I receive it as truth. I'm asking you now to seal the word of God in my heart and in my mind. I make a quality decision in my life to follow you and your word and to hold it in highest esteem in my life. The only word that matters is yours. And I pray that you would use my life in these last days to produce miracles and be a blessing to those who are around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're not done. Now, I want you to put your hands down. I want you to open your eyes. Now, concerning fear, how many or who in this house today has been dealing with issues? Maybe we call it stress, tension, panic, worry, concern. It's just fear. Let's just label it for what it is. How many of you have been in that situation? So would you go ahead and allow me to just pray over you corporately? Would you go ahead and just step on down to the front here this morning? We have a minute. We have a minute. I'm not going to keep you here all day. So just come on down if you've been dealing with that. You say, well, couldn't you just leave us in our seats? Yeah, I could. I could have just left you there.